Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this January, it's one of those J's. I'm all over the place today. I'm going to warn you all right now. I'm just all over the place. I'm excited to talk some hockey. That's what I'm doing. That's all that's on my mind right now. We do want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. Thank you so much to our good friends over there. Say good morning to them. I'm joined today by Seth Habhager, our head of production. Seth, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Hope everyone having a good day out there.
And we are joined right now. We're going to take your phone calls, of course, 424-2600. We will be taking your calls in just a little bit, but we're joined first off by GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman. Coach, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
All I want to do is talk to you about Saturday, but we can't do that right away. I want to actually go over the weekend with you, Coach, first off. First, how are you and the boys doing after a hard weekend?
We're doing well. Doing well. Recovering, right? Recouping, and, you know, between the weekend before that and then this weekend, you know, there's a lot on the line.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, it's very important that you get in your rest and how you, you know, the guys look tired. Mm-hmm. I thought the first game. Mm-hmm. So today we'll take it a little easy and that kind of thing, give them a break and loosen things up a little bit and just get that extra day and a rest, so to speak, and then you start preparing for this weekend. So,
when I was growing up, one of the things that I always enjoyed was seeing, like, you know, NFL sidelines, MLB sidelines, all, you know, they're all different with the coaches. But hockey coaches always seem to be the most stylish to me. And Coach over here is right in the group with them. Walk in Saturday, I see you over there, sir. And, man, you look good over there, Paul. Look good. It's good. You can coach. You're an amazing coach. But you got the look down perfect. Like, Friday's game... a bit of a high-scoring one, especially considering hockey games and everything like that. A nice game. So going into Saturday's game, many of us as fans had that going in and kind of expecting, well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. If you're a hockey fan, you know one game, no two games are alike. And goalies are different. Goalies are streaky, all these things. I did not have a chance to do a ton of homework on the Outlaws. So going into it, I wasn't too sure other than their standings and that. The first thing that I noticed in that game, because I got to go to the game Saturday, and a big shout out to the Southwood County Rec Center, one of the greatest places to see a hockey game anywhere in this world. Love it there. Right away, I noticed this team is not as fast and is going to make up for that speed by being chippy.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of chippy hockey. I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that style of play. I don't mind, you know, some bruising, some slapping against each other, you know, the ball boards or any of this stuff. I don't like tripping. I don't like a lot of that stuff, trying to slow guys down, that kind of thing. And it felt like in the first period, you already had three periods of this, and you played the Outlaws before and all that. You're going into that next game. And I felt like some of that played into from the Friday's game into Saturday's game, that kind of annoyance of that. And that first period ends 1-0 with the Outlaws up. Go into that second period, and it felt like one of the not just longer, but one of the more dramatic second periods that I've seen in quite some time. There was so much going on. The goalie for the Outlaws... First off, I don't think he's street legal. Like, what was he, 6'8", 6'9", that kid? It was huge. But I bring him up because I do hope he's doing well. He took one of our guys went flying in him, didn't catch who it was exactly, but he got, a concussion or something from that game, and they had to replace the goalie. And you just don't see it very often in hockey. Sure, when a goalie's getting, you know, banged up, he's up, got five goals on him or something. You don't see injured goalies very often. Like, that doesn't happen much. So shout out to him. Hope he's doing well and everything. But man, this next kid comes in, and it that second period ends, and it's still 1-0. Mm-hmm. And I'm there with my godson, and Cole likes hockey, and we're looking at each other, and we both watch a lot of hockey. Well, this is probably going to overtime. This is probably a 1-1 game. That's what this one's. How, you know, this is the way it's gone. I've been watching hockey my whole life, and all this, and I bring that up that I've been watching hockey for so long because, Coach, I'll tell you straight up, I've thought about this a lot. I don't think I've seen a more exciting third period in my life. I know I haven't in person. I know for darn sure I've never seen that exciting in person. But I don't think even on TV, and I'm talking like seeing the Blackhawks win Stanley Cups and stuff. Like, I mean this genuinely. I'm not saying this for because we love the Kings or any of this stuff. Like, I just have not seen that kind of action before. What would be the game-winning goal? The angle I had on it, because of the way that the Southfield County Rec Center is set up, where there's not a bad seat in the house, I had maybe the greatest angle I've ever had for a shot. I mean, this is a kid who's been watching hockey since I was two, and seeing my dad play and everything. I've had great seats. I've seen a lot of hockey. I've never seen anything like that. It felt like a combination of the team being like standing up for themselves, like you got to do in hockey, because while they were taking some nicks and touches, that second period ends with that team stepping up, and the rest of that third period was dominance, not just from the goal scoring aspect, but they were not going to get pushed around in that third period. So I have rambled long enough. Let's actually talk to somebody who was there and not like behind it and actually knows what he's talking about.
Right.
How was it from your perspective? That's as a fan what I was seeing. How was it from your end?
Well, you got to remember too, that's six periods. We played them
right
from last weekend.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Saturday's game was the third game. And they started to figure out that they can't keep up with us.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why teams start to get that way.
Yeah.
And they look to take out your top guys.
Yeah.
Right? So in order to give them a chance. You know, it is what it is. That's the nature of the beast. What nobody knows is at the beginning of the second period, Tobias Falkeid, okay, pulled semantics coming onto the bench, and I threw him off the bench and sent him to the locker room. So he never played the second period.
I didn't. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and needless to say, in between periods, after the second period, is when I laced into him and everybody else a little bit, and you know, it's time to play big boy hockey here. Let's, you know, you don't just win 5-2 and then you win 7-2. And now you lose 1-0 after two periods.
Yeah.
You know, it's time here. We knew what was at stake. We knew what we needed to do. You know, and I don't go rambling on and start telling stories in between periods. It's, you know, you got your bullet points. Let's talk about it here. Let's make sure we're focused. And then come out and take care of business. So not letting all their extra jabs and all that extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got to be disciplined. You got to walk away from it. Stay out of that stuff. They'll take penalties. Take advantage of it. And which we did. And then, so, you know, needless to say, I was very close to not even dressing, letting Tobias back on the ice in the third period. So I gave him a little reprieve. Yeah. He comes out and scores three goals in the third period. Right?
So. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that was so great. I didn't know any of that. Yeah. I did notice that I didn't see him in the second period, but I know how line changes could be, some of that stuff, and the flow of the game. I didn't think anything about that. Credit to both of you guys, as men, as athletes, as just human beings. We hear plenty of times, especially in this level of sports, whether it's hockey, baseball, anything else, you know, personalities can ruin a moment, you know, and it's very easy to get caught up in your own talent, your own skills, and well, it's about me or this or that. Credit to Tobias clearing his head and all that, and to you giving him a chance, because not every coach does that too, to have that balance. That actually leads me into this, because I was watching, and it's been a while since I've been to a hockey game in person, and the momentum of this in hockey, I think it's harder than any other sport. Outside of maybe when the Super Bowl happens and that those players have got a half an hour just sitting there and waiting to get back out on the field and everything. Most sports, pretty flowing. Mm-hmm. Baseball, pretty flowing. Basketball, pretty flowing. Hockey, flow, stop for 15 minutes, then come back out here on the ice and do this thing that nobody else in the world can do. You know, and that kind of thing. How do you keep that momentum going? Is that a case by case, like the players take care of that themselves? You and your staff kind of help with that?
Well, you know, yeah, it's timing, right? You know, I kind of wait until at least the Zamboni's halfway done. And then I'll go in, say what I have to do, and try to make sure that we're all on the same page. So sometimes they get an earful, sometimes pumping them up, sometimes just making game awareness. You know, it's just every situation is different, so you have to go about it differently. What's at stake? Where are we? Are we winning? Are we losing? How bad? How good? Whatever. That's usually the message in between those periods here. And any line adjustments or anything else that we got to do. So you try to keep it short and sweet, and these guys are focused enough, they know they've been doing it long enough. You don't have to tell them, you know, that much, unless you're changing your total structure and your systems and all that stuff. Let's do this instead of that. This ain't working. This will, that kind of thing. short and sweet and get in and out of there and let them focus and let them do what they got to do and prepare and come out and take care of business.
In the last quarter of the season here, certainly playoffs on the mind. What are some other things that you're looking to as far as when the regular to wrap up the regular season, you want to come out of that last game looking at your team and saying, okay, we did this, we did that. Certainly playoffs, but are there other things outside of that?
Getting these guys into college, getting them committed. We have about three or four guys that are getting recruited right now from NCAA, so we should start seeing some of these guys commit soon. So to me, that's the end game for the O2s, the guys that are aging out, is let's get them into school. That's really it. You know, I mean, we're in home games, right, this last stretch.
Yes.
So far, we've won, I think, six out of the last seven. You got seven more to go. Needless to say, we need to win out if we're going to move up a spot or two, which becomes very, very important, obviously, for the second round.
Yeah.
Right? So that's really the focus. Let's take it game by game, and we have to win. So we're already in playoff mentality, and that's what we're working for. Now it's just juggling rest. You know, working hard, you know, what do we need to work on? Let's just focus on a couple of things. Let's enjoy the time we got here and make sure that we're fresh going into the playoffs. Mm. That's really the key.
During the season, because when it comes to this level of sports, a league like the USPHL and those things, you've got, help here and there, but you also have to do wear a lot of hats. And I imagine, talking with you about it before and other things, scouting is something that you have to do, and you don't necessarily have a scouting department, really, and that kind of thing. But that's something that is a year-round thing. You talk to any Major League Baseball franchise and stuff, and they've got that. All these other things. How do you balance that? Are you able to do that? Are you able to do scouting throughout the season, that kind of thing?
Sure. I already have 30 names on my board.
Right on.
You know, so
I had a feeling.
You're constantly, right, because you're watching guys, and I have connections all over the world. So I have scouts in Europe and all that kind of stuff that are sending me names and videos, and I want to see what they're doing and keep track of what they're doing. So the goalies, the forwards, and the D, right? And then you just write the names on a board, and you stay in touch. And we got a couple of good players here in Rapids with the high school team that that I'm excited about. I've already sat down with them and their family, and another kid from Wausau High School when they came here to play Rapids last week. Yeah. So I sat down with him and his family. So there's some pretty good players here, which is, I mean, that's an untapped market from what I've heard. You know, Marty never really looked into that as much. There's some good players here in Wisconsin, so why not take advantage of it, right? So it's just, that's how I do it.
Right on.
I'm always on my phone. My phone's always ringing. It's one of those things, and just, hey, whether it's now, I mean, the trade deadline or the roster deadline is February 12th.
I was going to ask. Okay, good to know.
So we still got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this, I'm not done yet, so.
Right. Oh, if you guys could have seen the smile, that sly smile on his face, man. Yeah, he ain't done.
That was good.
Got the Minnesota Blue Ox coming to town February 3rd and 4th this weekend. Can we preview that a little bit? Is there something that people should be on their eye out for as far as these games? Or obviously, we're going to attend them. We're going to show them what home ice advantage is.
They're a tough squad. I mean, they're physical, they're gritty. It's going to be a battle. It's not going to be a walkover by any stretch. You know, these guys are battling to get into a certain spot as well, and they're chasing us, and we got to keep our distance. And again, you know, we're chasing and they're chasing us, so there's a lot at stake, and it's going to be two tough games.
Yeah. We're going to be there for them. We're going to make sure to fill the Southwick County Rec Center, make the whole show them what home ice advantages. There aren't many teams in this division, in this league, that have a fan base like our River Kings. And not just a crazy Italian running around like I was on Saturday, because I feel like I almost need to apologize for people. I don't know. It was a little wild, but it was exciting. It was so much fun.
That's what it's all about.
I go to my dad right away. I'm like, Dad, 5 unanswered goals in the third period. Like, and the game ended at 6-2, and I'm telling him about rambling and rambling. And he just looks at me. He's like, "That's my boy." That's all he said. He's never said that to me in my day in my life. He's never said that to me. He's just took a little bit of pride there. You can help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. RiverKingsHockey.com is where you can get tickets and find out more information. Coach will join us all season long. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
You got it. Thank you.
Tell the boys hi, and thank you for a great weekend of hockey. Great weekend.
Will do.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and take some of your phone calls and get into some more fun here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody, here at WFHR. We're here to take your sports thoughts and feelings. Give us a call, 424-2600. Join these airwaves. Seth and James here with you right now. And while I could just keep talking River Kings hockey for the next at least 3 hours, I will mention one more time, River Kings in action this weekend, February 3rd and 4th, and really the rest of the season, nothing but home games. Shout out to the USPHL schedulers.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for this.
We appreciate that. We really do.
It's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet deal. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. I do want to stay local for another minute. We'll get to that in a second. First, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
Thinking about that Eagle game.
A lot of drama, although it wasn't really that exciting. But there are plenty of drama in it, though.
Yeah, right before that first score, where the guy made that one-handed catch.
Yeah, I didn't agree with the announcers. I thought that was a catch. I thought it was a catch. Maybe I'm an old receiver and I'm just looking to give it to him or something, but I thought it was a catch. It was a good game. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I liked the last game better yet.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Always good to talk to you, Gary. You take care.
You guys have a good day.
You too. We'll talk more NFL, of course, in a moment. We have to. We legally have to.
Yeah. Isn't that every sports talk show has to talk about the NFL at least 10 seconds to mention it?
I'm pretty sure. I did want to get to this because I love the idea of going from our River Kings to our Rafters.
Nice.
And, of course, we are the home of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Mm-hmm. And they just recently announced that Carter Glendhill, Kevin Melier, and Joey Ferrier will make up the 2023 broadcast team.
Nice.
You may have noticed one of those names. Hey, Carter Glendhill, that sounds familiar.
That's right.
Carter's returning the Rapids for his second season and will be joined by Melier for all 36 Rafter home games on the Northwoods League TV network.
Mm-hmm.
Freer will be broadcasting all 72 regular season games right here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to have these guys on. We're going to have them on the air with us and get to, you know, here on Playmakers. So we'll talk to them and get to know them a little bit more then.
Yep.
I won't give you their backstory and all that just yet. I am incredibly happy to have Carter back, not just because he's a Chicago native. No. I think Carter did an amazing job.
No, he was very good. We had a very good team last year.
Oh, yeah.
Got a high bar to stand up to. Of course, Carter, we know, is a known quantity here. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to the other guys, especially, of course, the radio guy. I mean,
yeah,
we had such a great one last year, and I know they come up with some really good guys.
And it's very interesting to not only that, but to see where this GM search goes.
Oh, yes.
I'm curious to see, do you hire from within again like you did with Chloe? Mm-hmm. Or honestly, you've got newer owners. It's not as if they've owned the franchise for 10 years.
That's right.
So we see this sometimes in sports where newish owners can get a little, well, wait a minute, I'm losing all my people here and stuff. I got to bring in somebody else or something like that. It's a positive.
I agree.
It's interesting. Before the River Kings game got going Saturday, talking to some people I haven't seen in a while and some listeners and that, and the Rafters came up a number of times. And it was all about the GM stuff. And I didn't hear anybody that wasn't happy as heck for Chloe.
Right.
Which we all are. And a shout out to Chloe DeVries again. And congratulations to her. I feel like the rest of the America is going to know that name like we do around here eventually.
Yes.
She's just a rising star in that business.
Yeah, keep an eye on her. She's very young. She's got a long road ahead of her.
Similar story with Andy. Andy Francis, our former GM around here. Andy, younger guy, and just an upcoming name in that industry. I believe that Andy, I wouldn't... I would be more shocked if I'm not watching SportsCenter one day and new general manager, this team announced their new general manager is Andy Francis.
Says, yeah.
That it would surprise me more if that doesn't happen than when it does. When it does happen, what's going to surprise me is probably the team.
Especially since they seem to be, front offices seem to be moving back more towards baseball people recently.
Yeah.
For a while there, it was all, let's get these financial wizard 30-year-old with MBAs from Harvard, you know, with nothing against those guys. Because, you know, they had that, you know, the sabermetric stuff coming in, and that's interesting stuff. Yeah, exactly. And using a lot of analytics, which I have no problem with. I think those are great. But I think they went a little too far on that side, and now they're bringing more baseball people back, which I think is great, who've, like, come up through the ranks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like promoting from within, and I like baseball people doing baseball jobs. I don't know. It seems so weird to say that
right?
Yeah, I with you. I didn't understand that when...
Yeah.
I also, I think that that's, if you are a fan of the Rafters, if you are a fan of the Northwoods League, there are certain things that show you that you're doing well. Your attendance, your I don't just mean for your particular teams, but your overall attendance for your league and these things. And that they're poaching your talent.
Yes.
They're not doing that if you don't have good people.
I don't know if people, it took me a little while to wrap my head around what happened to Chloe. Okay, she's 24. First of all, she gets hired as the GM of the Rafters, which I believe she was the first woman GM in the Northwoods League, right? 1 year, and all of a sudden she gets called up to the big leagues?
Yeah.
That's when does that happen? I mean, that's an amazing thing. So, yeah.
To equivalent that to a ball player, if you're a ball player and you're the number one pick in the draft, that's the last time we're going to see you for a year or two.
Yeah, right. In the minors,
You're going to the minors for a while, and we'll see you when you're 25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a blue moon, there's a guy who, well, he's really killing it in Double A. We should move him up, and they move him up a week or two later. And then he's really killing it, and he goes to the MLB.
Yeah. Like,
there, I think on one hand, I could count the times that I've heard of that happening.
Albert Pujols was one of them.
That's a good one.
From Double A. Yep,
that's a good one.
And stayed, and he, you know, just kind of then stayed for the next 20 years in the majors, right? Yeah.
For what happened with Chloe, it's the equivalent of that. Really.
It is. It really is.
It's impressive.
Very cool.
Some highlights of the 2023 Rafter season, as they have announced their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Rafters will host opening day on May 29th at 6:35 against the Lakeshore Chinooks. And they close the season home on August 12th at 6:35 against the Green Bay Rockers.
Nice.
The home game schedule has 5 games on Sundays, 4 on Mondays, 4 on Tuesdays, 5 on Wednesdays, 6 on Thursdays, and 7 on Fridays, 5 on Saturdays.
Mm.
A doubleheader will be played against the Green Bay Rockers at Witter Field on July 12th. There will be more doubleheaders.
Yeah. We'll see more.
And there will be 17 games played at home in June and only 4 in August, so get out early in summer to see your Rafters.
Kind of the opposite of what happened with the River Kings this year.
Yes.
Last month, we're only going to get a few home games. So,
Of course, a great group outings in the Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa Rat Trap and Point Craft River are now available for booking. Be sure to call the Rafters front office at 715-424-5400. You can also email them, tyler@raftersbaseball.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever need this information, again, just call up and we'll get it to you.
Yeah.
Or you can get it yourself at northwoodsleague.com. Roll rats.
Roll rats.
Oh, I am so jacked
about
this.
It's almost February, and that only means one thing for me. So
Yes.
Spring training starting real soon.
Pitchers and catchers, get those mitts ready. You're going to be reporting soon. Say goodbye to your families for a little while, because you are not going to see them for what is going to feel like a year.
Exactly.
Baseball is the only sport that still feels this way like it did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it honestly felt like the baseball season was a year long. Like it really did.
Because it encompasses 3 seasons.
Yeah.
You got spring, summer, and fall. And most of the year is covered by it. So, yeah, you're right.
It still feels that way.
It does.
It still has that feeling to it. It's so exciting. Cannot wait for pitchers and catchers to show up. I can't wait for not just the Rafters, of course, but a really first time in many years I've been this excited about a baseball season. And I'm just it's nice to – it's like – it's like coming across a song you haven't listened to in like 10 years. And like, oh, this was one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
I forgot all about how much I love this song. I feel that way about baseball right now. I feel like a new baseball fan, even though I've been a fan 40-something plus years.
Right. And I just want to point something out to everybody. James, instead of using another sports metaphor to describe baseball, he used a music metaphor. I don't know if I've heard that yet. That might be something new, but I liked it. It was good. Branching out a little bit here, huh? Yeah, branching out.
I am so bad with the metaphors and having to compare things to things. I didn't even. You got me on that one.
But it was great. It was noticeable. I mean, it was like, wow, that's awesome, dude.
Oh, that was good.
Branching out.
That was so good. I need a break. We're going to take a break. We want your phone calls, 424-2600. We want you to call up and join the conversation, everybody. I apologize. I actually had the laptop in the wrong spot. I could not see the phone going.
Yep.
So please call up, 424-2600. We'll get to a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun right here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone, here at WFHR. We're locally grown radio, and we want to take your phone calls. Call up and join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings, 424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you and you joining the conversation. We were talking baseball. Let's kind of stay there for a moment. We were able to talk about the before the voting, but we have not been able to talk about it since they've had the voting for Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Some interesting news there, of course.
Well, the fact that Scott Rolen, I'm glad there wasn't a shutout this year. There was a lot of fear that there was going to be, you know, the writers were going to shut out again for the second time in 3 years, which bugs me. I'm a proponent of what's called the bigger hall. I want more people in than instead of less, because I think it's a historical thing, and I think it should be looked at that, not necessarily that it's like, oh, we have to have these strict rules that only certain guys can get in. No, forget that. But I also believe that Scott Rolen very much deserved to get in. If you look at his stats, now I'm going to use a couple of words here that people may not know for like advanced analytics in baseball. There's a statistic called WAR, which means wins above replacement, which means how much better a player is than how many wins a player makes for their team or helps their team out more than a replacement player. It's very kind of convoluted. Mm-hmm. But basically, the more WAR you have, the better you are. Mm-hmm. Scott Rolen ranks 9th all time for third baseman in WAR.
That's incredible.
So should be in the Hall of Fame because his defense, he was a steady player. He just didn't talk about himself that much.
Yeah.
He was a really, you know, like I've heard from former players that played with him. They said he was a lunch pail kind of guy. He just came to work, did his craft, and that was it. And he also was really funny. Other than that, but he didn't share it with the broader public.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I just want to wish Chloe all the luck, best for her new job. I think she was pretty good. Yeah. But anyways, she didn't get the Hot Soul event scheduled this year. I'm kind of disappointed for that.
I got to think that that's in part because of the flux and change or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems weird that they wouldn't.
Yeah, I have to keep an eye on that. I kind of miss listening to the high school coaches and the Ramblers and Rangers coaches and all that talk baseball. I love talking baseball.
As we well know, yes.
Appreciate
Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Super Bowls in less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 3 days after the Super Bowl, catchers and pitchers report.
Right on. Yeah,
I love it that you use that as the demarcation. Yeah. The Super Bowl, and then the baseball starts. We're done and go. Yeah, that's great.
Our kind of people, sir. You're our kind of people. Yep. Hey, always good to talk to you.
All right, I just want to say I'm ready for the catchers and pitchers to report now, and the first game will be on the 25th of February.
There you go.
See that too,
That's exciting.
You got your schedule ready, awesome. Everybody.
Yeah.
That's great. Right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah, we'll see ya.
Right with him on that. With him on him. I love it. You were mentioning Scott Rolen. It is kind of cool to see some of these guys, the more defensive guys, get in. I do want to talk a little bit about the guys who didn't get in.
That's a good one.
We'll get into that in a little bit. First, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, we get the sunshine, but it'll be nice to have the 70-degree temperature.
Yeah, that would be would be nice. That would be very nice, yes.
You're talking baseball, you got to have, that stuff too. But, you know, I've been so excited about some information and research I did for this show to talk with Randy about it. And then we got Seth again.
Yep.
I know, I'm a poor substitute.
Yeah, I do like you, Seth. You know, I do like you.
I am no Randy, though. It's true. Yeah. It's very true.
But yeah, when you talk baseball and soccer afters, and you talk River Kings hockey, Rapids is so blessed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So blessed to have these two organizations in this community to be, you know, something to do for the families to come out, cheap and inexpensive. You're not paying $100 to go watch a Major League Baseball game or a hockey game. The community does support it very well, which I still think they can do better. The community, it's so neat having these teams, you know, and then be able to watch these kids. And you know, I do have connections with some of the kids that are still playing in baseball from being a host parent for the Raptors.
That's nice.
You know, it's so nice to get those text messages from the boys. You know, wishing you a happy birthday or just how's it going, things like that. And my two boys were able to look up to the boys that we had, or I should say the men that we had, stay at our house, and it is so cool, you know. And I haven't had a chance to really know much about the hockey players. I'm not a hockey family. I do know some families that, you know, have hosted for the River Kings, and you know, you do meet some of those kids once in a while, and you know, you show up at the house, but you know, it's just awesome. I mean, as you probably can tell my voice talk about this, it's just awesome.
It's also a great comment to make to people out there. If you have never been a host family, or if you've thought about being a host family, these are the things that can come from that. It is a great thing to be able to do for the community and for these teams and these players, but what it can do for the family, as you can hear in our caller's voice here and stuff. That's awesome. That's really cool.
As I was saying about text messages, I just got one the other day from one of the first players we hosted. He recently got married. I think it was just before the pandemic, and they just had their first child. So you know, obviously, I got to send something down to them, and I sent some Brewer stuff. Obviously,
nicely done.
They're a Houston Astro fan, so I got to send Brewer stuff down.
There you go. Yeah,
well, that's good.
But the Raptors did have like a onesie or whatever for the for the infants, and they sent me a picture with the infant having the onesie on. So that was kind of cool.
That is so great.
And like I said, the young men that they bring into this community, fit our community. They're hardworking. Blue collar people that want to win and want to work hard, and you know, starting with Liz Kern when they first started with the Raptors, they instilled that into this community of we're going to have guys that are going to come here and they want to be here. They're not just going to come here and party. They're college kids. You know.
Yeah.
You're going to have some fun, but they're also going to put back into the. Right. They're going to work just as hard for the community and on the diamond, on the ice, as they are, you know, doing other things. And we've been really, really fortunate with it. I don't think we could ever not note this stuff enough. Mm-hmm. How fortunate we are in this area, for kids that were born and raised in this area, that to the kids that are born and raised in this area now. Like thinking about that, it's interesting this came up because I was talking about it over the weekend, and we're getting a little away from it now, but there was a point where I go to my nephew. My nephew wants to show me his room and his new baseball cards, and I go in there, and he's got a picture of Christian Yelich, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Aaron Rodgers on his wall. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, like, when the last time in my life, any state, let alone Wisconsin, had at that time when I'm walking in there, arguably the three greatest players in their individual sports? Like, the things that kids are growing up with in this state right now, and then you go into central Wisconsin here in the Rapids area and stuff. Man, these kids are, and that's spoiled in a bad way. I just mean like spoiled, like good, like that's so cool. Like good on them. That's great. Yeah. I'm very happy about that. It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, and I think I brought this up during the World Series. You know, you had one of the former Raptors playing in the World Series, mm-hmm. Bryson Stott.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know,
what do you think what that whole family feels like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a great point. That's very a great good. Point. Hmm.
I'm a guy, so I'm kind of putting a shameless plug in for the Raptors or even the River Kings. Give those guys a call. If you have an extra room in the summer, some of these kids come 1,300 miles.
Mm-hmm.
They become your kid for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that, I mean, this is the support they need. You know, they're used to have a mom and dad at a lot of these games, and sometimes, you know, with being this far away, they, you know, it's
mm-hmm. yeah, it goes so far.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's good talking to you, sir. I want to next week we're going to do more of Super Bowl predictions and stuff like that as we're leading up to the game. So nice. Get ready to call in next week with that. Okay.
I will be talking that too.
So sounds good.
I do have some local stuff that I want to throw at Randy too.
All right. So looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon. You have a good week.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week too.
All right. Thanks.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get that out of the way, come back, and we'll talk a little of the... I guess we should probably talk Super Bowl a little. I guess
Should we? We got to know. We got 2 weeks, man. What are you talking about?
45 minutes in, and we're just now mentioning... I love that. I love it. We'll come back with some more fun here on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR. Of course, Playmakers proudly brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Go to qpprinting.com to find more information. Be sure to type into your Facebook search bar, QP Printing, and follow along with all the great stuff they have out there. And join us every Wednesday when Phil Hartley, our friend from Quality Plus, joins us in our morning show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, usually right after Melissa's news in the 8:35, 8:40 block, somewhere around there. Looking forward to what Phil's got for us this week. I certainly, we got only 15 minutes left. Yeah. I want to talk football. I want to talk about the Super Bowl.
Let's get that in there.
But I did want to wrap up some of the MLB talk, and especially the Hall of Fame, because I thought of something over the past weekend, and the caller actually mentioned something too that I thought was noteworthy when it comes to the Hall of Fame. We see this going on in society a lot right now, where there's this part of society that seems to want to blanket the past, and another part that, you know, we can't own our past enough. And trying to work that, how do we do this in life going forward and everything? And we, you know, all of us baseball fans, we've been talking about this since the dawn of the steroid era. And even longer before that when it comes to Pete Rose or anything. Well, the people that you keep out of the hall. And, well, we're keeping Pete Rose out of the hall because he bet on baseball while he was managing a team.
Right.
We're going to keep so-and-so out of baseball because we believe they did steroids or we have some proof that they did steroids, et cetera, et cetera. However, the balance of Barry Bonds being a great the prime example, if not one of the examples of this.
Right.
Well, Barry, you know, it doesn't look like he was doing steroids this part of his career, but he did after. And most people will tell you, you know, steroids don't help you hit a baseball any better or any of these things.
Right. Yeah. Arguments. Yeah.
My buddy Chris, with his argument to this, well, Bonds may have been shooting up. How many balls did he hit off of pitchers that were also shooting up?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Are we doing this wrong in this sense, though? We've heard the term asterisk. Like, okay, put Barry Bonds in, but an asterisk by his name.
Right.
I don't know about that, but what about the idea of, well, Ty Cobb's in the Hall of Fame. You know, you go to the Hall of Fame, and for decades upon decades, Ty Cobb was the most hated man in sports and all this stuff.
Right.
And as we've talked about on this show, we've come to find out Ty Cobb actually just a boring guy.
Yeah, really.
He wasn't
the monster they made him out to be, right?
A bad writer just needed to sell an autobiography, and, you know, the story spun from that,
exactly.
And here we are now.
Yeah.
And the great example that is, what about players who go into the Hall of Fame and then later in life do something knucklehead and everything? And they're not taking them out of the hall.
No.
But every time my kid passes that statue and stuff, and I don't want to talk.
Yeah, right.
What about the example of life that we give as adults to children all the time? Hey, you're going to mess up. Mistakes are going to happen. Here is the results of that. Here is the accountability to that.
Right.
Because baseball, you're never going to get rid of, like, it's going to be 100 years and they're still going to know who Barry Bonds is.
Mm-hmm.
His you know, the home run change, the records are going to change and all that.
Right.
But Barry Bonds' name is still going to be in the record books. And there's going to be a kid that's going to ask, why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame?
Exactly.
And then they're going to have to give him that story and tell him why he's not in the Hall of Fame and how steroids arguably kept him out and all this. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the kid that doesn't ask? What about the kid that doesn't know who these guys are and stuff? And where's the example of, hey, this is what happened in baseball, and we can never let this happen again. Mm-hmm. So here are the examples of these athletes. And are we whitewashing it too much? Are we kind of like, you know, just trying to, hey, here's only the perfect stories in baseball. Here's only the good stuff.
Right.
Are we missing a key part of sports?
Right.
And the idea of, look, I love sports. I love watching it. I like seeing my team win. I'm sure owners out there love collecting those paychecks and money and everything.
I'm sure.
Sports was designed to teach. It was supposed to be about camaraderie. It was supposed to be to show young people how you can handle adversity and so many other things.
Teamwork and all that stuff, right? Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but I think you may have a good point there, especially now that, you know, we're finding out about, you know, players. Like, let's do people on the cusp, okay? Mm-hmm. There seems to be, you know, and I think it's the voting process that's the problem for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I really don't know if the media is the best, especially who they let in to vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, 10 years, you have to be in the Writers Association for 10 years before you can vote for the Hall of Fame? Really? And it's writers. It's not media people like the announcers that watch these guys every single day.
How many writers' careers last 10 years anymore?
Exactly. I mean, I was listening to something. Some guy brought that up. He said, I thought guys, I entered the thing with, he's like, oh, in 10 years, we'll all be doing it. The attrition rate. Yeah. For these guys, they've been left because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's one thing.
They got to go do something else, even if they love baseball.
That's crazy.
So that's part of it for me. Huh. The other part is that, you know, and it's such a convoluted, especially the steroids era. I recently heard Doug Glanville, the former major leaguer and now college professor, apparently. He's a very smart guy. But he said what his perspective on it is, okay, yes, the rules were lax then. The owners didn't dig too deep. But the players who did it still knew they were cheating.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh, what? I'm not supposed to do this? No, they knew what they were doing. And that's what his perspective is on it. He thinks in-between kind of thing, because he knows how good some of these players were because he played against them. He knew who these guys were. But at the same time, they knew they were cheating.
Yeah.
So, but, and that's, the debate goes on. I think eventually all these guys are going to get into the Hall. And when they do, I think what you said is exactly what should happen. We should just make the story open.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. This is what happened during this era. And yeah, it may have helped some guys break some records. And so let's talk about that. What I dislike about the whole sacred cow thing that baseball is for some people, that it's like, oh, it's the personification of America and all this kind of stuff. No, it's a game, okay?
Yeah.
It's a game. Let's treat it like a game and show that these people have clay feet sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
These people aren't superheroes, okay? They're human beings. Let's just go from it from that angle.
We're missing the opportunity for one of the better storylines that we all love, especially in this country. We love baseball. We love apple pie. We love a comeback story in America.
Absolutely.
And you're missing that opportunity. I'm not talking necessarily for those players or anything, but baseball. For
the
baseball
story,
to have the comeback,
mm-hmm.
for its sport, for the sport too. The sport has had black eye after black eye since you and I in the 40 years I've been on this planet. There's been four strikes in baseball. There's been the steroids era. There's been this and that and cheating and etc. And more than any other sport, because it's been around longer than any other sport, baseball has had some black eyes.
Yeah,
and it makes us, for those of us that are fans of it, it doesn't make us change how we feel about baseball. It just makes us, it's part of its story.
Exactly.
Gandhi did some pretty knucklehead things in his life.
He did.
It didn't take away from what he did, the good
that's
he
right.
did.
Yeah.
It just adds to his story.
Exactly.
That's life. That's human.
Yes.
It's what sports is supposed to be, is a mirror of all those things and
stuff. If you put something up on a pedestal, it's bound to fall off. So keep that in mind.
I do feel like we're missing that that part of sports where this idea of and doing this with anything is insane, because especially now where everything's there's data of everything.
Everything. It's all out there.
You can't hide stuff anymore. You can't. It's always going to come out. So why not own your past? Why not own these things?
Yeah.
And look braver for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Breaking news I have to touch on real quick here. Hockey Hall of Famer Bobby Hall, 12-time All-Star, two-time Hart Trophy winner. Many people, including in my house, would consider him Mr. Blackhawk, passed away just a little bit ago. The NHL Alumni Association announced he was 84. Hall, known during his playing career as the Golden Jet because of his blonde hair and speed on the ice, became beloved in Sweet Home Chicago for teaming with the great Stan Mikita to help the Blackhawks win Stanley Cup in 61 to end a 23-year title drought. Following Mikita's lead, Hall became the known for curving the blade of his wooden stick in the 1960s and had one of the most feared slap shots in the league. Ice at 118 miles an hour, still one of the fastest in NHL history.
That's scary.
another great example of everything we were just talking about here. While Seth was talking, I just quickly hit refresh to see if there was any breaking news, and this popped up. So I did not want this as a segue. Bobby Hall has some pretty bad stuff off the ice, like some pretty bad stuff, especially I'm not even talking about the stuff that's all well known. I'm talking about his Chicagoans, the stories and the things that we would hear growing up about him.
Yeah.
But he was a human being. Like, you know, I don't forgive any of that. I also don't judge him for it because I'm not God. I don't get to judge people.
You never know the whole story.
Right.
Never know the whole story.
I know what he meant to my dad. I know that nothing can take that away from him, being a little kid and seeing Bobby Hall and be like, I love Stan Mikita and these guys and wanting to be like that, to where he would pick up a stick and go play.
Yep.
It's a shame. He lived a good life and everything.
Yeah. But
when we're talking about any of these people, it's okay. You know, it's okay to give an honest obituary.
Yes.
You know, that's all right.
And in fact, we should. Honest obituary. Absolutely.
I hope they do for me.
Yeah.
I hope, along with saying one of the most dashing people that anybody's ever seen, one of the greatest actors in it.
I was hoping you were going to go there, because otherwise I was going to do it.
Stick the landing on that one. I would hope that when it's all said and done, that people would yell, you know, the good, the bad, the gray about me, about anybody, I would hope.
That means you've had a life. That means you've actually embraced your humanity. That's a good thing. Oh, yeah, we got 3 minutes left. Their football happened this weekend.
Super Bowl 57 is set. Didn't talk about either championship game. To be fair, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. I mean, that first game was a bit of a blowout.
Yeah.
And once the Purdy goes down, I think what's more interesting and what I'd like to get into next week is the revolving door that is going on with quarterbacks these days. Mm. And especially, we're going into this offseason, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys have no idea where they're playing next year.
Fascinating.
It's crazy to think of a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are kind of like, if you want them, well, Tom's a free agent, but if you want them, what do you got? Like, we're listening. Like, I know the Packers are saying they won't trade Favre to see what I did there. Rodgers to an NFC team. And I do believe them on that, but I also have a hard time believing that if an NFC team that is not in the North calls to them, that they wouldn't listen.
All I know is that the Jets are loading up. They're getting ready.
Yeah, they are.
They're getting ready to have him on their team. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I have a hard time believing. I don't like to try to say what's in a person's heart or head. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers wears a lot on his sleeve.
He sure does.
And he has gone out of his way to let you know that he does not want to have. He wants to have a different legacy than Brett Favre. And he wants to leave with a different taste in people's mouth than Brett Favre. I can't imagine it sitting that great with him. Hey, Aaron, you want to leave? Okay. We're going to send you to the same place we set Brett. Mm-hmm. So not only have you always been in his shadow here, but you'll be in his shadow the rest of your career, because you're going to have the same pantheon that he did.
If he ends up with the Vikings, oh, my God.
I mean, I can't. It's really hard for me to, like, for a guy who was trying so hard to get from out that shadow. Yeah. I can't imagine how that's
sitting. No, that would never happen. Never happen.
We'll see how this goes, though. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be fascinating.
I did want to let you know, no sports necessarily on our stations tonight, whether it's us or our sister station, but tomorrow on WFHR at 6:05, we'll have the Greg Gard Show, and then at 7:05, Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be great. And then we've got Marquette and Villanova on WIRI. You got River Kings Hockey coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about this, of course, on our morning show. We'll let you know, and we'll have a bunch of stuff going on with that. Seth, thanks a lot for pitch hitting today.
Not a problem.
Thank you for all the calls, everybody out there. A big shout out to Coach Peckham for joining us. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to the River Kings. Help them build hockey up and down the river. Go to Wisconsin Rapids River. Go to RiverKingsHockey.com for more information. And for your rafters, go to NorthwoodsLeague.com right there. We'll have more for you coming up right here. Well, I like the way Beth says this. You do it, Beth.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.